Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And thank you very much indeed for joining us. When I was reading through this earlier in the day, this email, I noticed first, Liam, that there was no name, as is usually the case, or at least initials. And secondly, I thought I was embarking on an endurance test. It was so long, and I nearly had forgotten by the end what it started out with. But I'll read it as we've received it, and then we'll let you comment on it. I'm just filling out an application form for an assistant principal, one position in my school. I've been asked to give one example of where I showed skills or excellence in leading, teaching and learning. Managing an organisation, leading school development and developing leadership capacity. The application form is not marked as part of the process, it just gets you called to interview. The thing is, I'm certain to be called for interview no matter what. So should I hold back a little on my good examples in the application form and save them for a big shot in the interview? Sorry for being so long-winded. I promise I'm more succinct in the classroom. I sincerely hope for the benefit of the pupils he is or she is. But nonetheless, that's it as we received it, Liam.
So, yeah, the question is, I'm going to be called for should I waste my big shot, as the listener says, in the application form. And I would be very loath to save the big shot. If there's a big shot, I'd put into the application form. I would put my best foot forward. While the application form is not marked, what the listener is saying is when the interview panel sit down to pick the successful candidate, they're not allowed to mark the application form, okay? So it exists purely to get the candidate in the likes of an assistant principal one position in the door of the interview. I would discourage the listener from leaving something good off the application form. I think that while it may not be marked, it does form an impression. It does... You know, it does have a value in terms of showing something you have done. And, you know, wouldn't it be terrible for our listener if they left off what they call the big shot and then didn't get called to interview? So it's the court case where you leave a very good witness at home because you're complacent that you'll get off of it. So I just think it'd be a bad foot to start off on. I think you should make your application form as strong as you can make it. Everybody else in the race is trying to make theirs as strong as they can make it. And while it's not marked, I do believe it has a kind of a subconscious impact upon the interview panel on the day.
So in other words, the big shot should not be kept to last. The big shot perhaps should be produced right at the start.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason why, I think part of the reason why our listener may have suggested this course of action is that sometimes in interview, the interview panel will say, okay, we've read your example there under leading, teaching and learning. Can you give us a second example? So this listener is trying to hold it in reserve in the likelihood of this happening. Okay, this approach being adopted by the interview panel. However, if the interview panel don't say that and ask the listener to elaborate on the example they have in their application form, the big shot may remain unshot, if you know what I mean. Maybe. So I would be, you know, I would be of the view, start strong, start the intent to go on and get it all out there and, you know, go for it, because it's just too perilous an approach to go the other way. It's, you know, and I know in football, a sport that you and I both enjoy, you might try and leave a good sub ready for the second half. It can work, but you need to have a good panel. You need to have a good panel to do it, because, you know, one of the best ways of having a good bench is to pick a bad team, but that can bring its own problems if you leave your six best forwards on for the second half and you discover at half time we're 15 points down here. So even if you have six Gooches, we're not going to turn this around the second half. So go for it, put your Gooches in the starting team, and hopefully you'll build up a lead that will be unassailable, or at least keep you in the race until the finish.
And there's also the
aspect. I labour my analogies there? I think I did.
Well, labour is one word, I suppose, but I'm sure there are others. But the point I was going to make, Liam, is that in the application form, you know, you put in that good shot or big shot or winning shot, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, you're not going to get the ability, or the opportunity, rather, to develop it until you're actually in the interview. And as you say, if you leave it out of the application form and don't get to the interview, then you don't get to develop it at all. So there really are two opportunities.
Exactly. And, you know, what's written in an application form, and typically this listener going for an AP1 position will get about 300 words in the form to elaborate on the example, okay? But in speaking, we speak a lot more than 300 words in a few minutes. So you've got more room. And writing is a different, you know, form of communication to speaking. It's colder, by and large. It doesn't have a tone of voice. And people speed read a lot of things. Whereas in the actual interview, you can sell it better. You know, you can tell it better. You can be more persuasive. You can use tone of voice. You can use emphasis. Mm. You can shine the light a little bit differently. So I would be very wary of adopting this approach. I think it's a novel suggestion, in fact, and I like the spirit of it. But you know, it's just too dangerous. And you know, I think that you could really end up regretting it if you end up not using it at all. So going from big shot to half shot or no shot at all. Mm. You know,
just one final point. I don't know how many people I've met over the years who shy away from management within the education system, particularly within the primary and secondary sectors. They just don't want to be involved in management. And I was thinking this when I was reading this email earlier in the day. Is that the reason why? Because it seems to be so complicated. Or am I just out of touch?
No, well, they're two different questions. So to deal with the substantive issue, the job of getting a job in school management has become more and more complex as the years have gone on. And the application forms, some of them are, are beasts of things, where by the end of the application form, the applicant will feel like they have repeated themselves five times. And, you know, it's difficult for people to stop their careers mid-track and say, okay, let's summarize this over 15 pages. You know, you kind of tend to live your career and move on with it. I think it's overdone itself. I think they've overcomplicated the job. I think that there should be a lot more emphasis put on, you know, on previous performance and on the interview. I think the application form has become a very tedious undertaking. And I think that's a pity, because it's a tedious undertaking for lots of teachers. We do a lot of work in application forms. We'd have, you know, maybe perfected or speeded up how we might do it, but it's a long-winded process, and I think it does put people off. I'm not sure it's the reason why people don't go for management roles. Ultimately, there's a lot more to that as well, I think, in terms of how difficult it is to manage and how time-consuming it is. But the forms could be simplified. I think I agree with that. Your other question: are you out of touch? Absolutely not, Aidan. You're completely with the zeitgeist, I think.
I'm glad you haven't asked me to spell that. I sincerely hope. Never mind, explain it. Very good. We must leave it there, Liam. Thank you very much indeed. Liam Horan, as always, Managing Director of Slianua, and never short with the fancy quip, I guess.